Club.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
The time is looking strong for Jessica Fox. One gate to come. Fox is flying towards the line. Is this the moment she's dreamt of her entire career? She's got it. She has shines like gold to become the Olympic champion.
Oh, what a moment for Jess Fox, MG. It happened moments ago, as called on Channel 7, Australia's official Olympic broadcaster. She's finally an Olympic gold medalist.
Yeah, about 20 minutes ago, we were sitting here in the studio watching it, and she has worked her butt off to get this achievement. She is just an honour to the Penrith area where she lives. Her mum and dad are both ex-rowers as well, and kayakers and stuff. She's a Leone public school girl. She's a Blaxland High School. And you know what? I suppose other than being a welcome distraction, our Olympians at the moment are also providing us with a lot of perspective. Now, she's worked her professional life off to get that one piece of gold around her neck, and it's taken her probably 12 years to do it. So congratulations, and we'll get to the other girls and boys in a sec, but this one means something special because I know her pretty well, Jess, and she's been in here to the show, and fantastic. After getting bronze in the last effort, to get the gold today is just so, I've got goosebumps still, I've got a tear in my eye as well.
She's always out at Whitewater Stadium in Penrith. She paddles the Nepean River, and now she is an Olympic gold medalist. Congratulations, Jess Fox. It was a great day in Tokyo for Australia as well. Medals in other sports, we'll get to all those. Reedy's going to join us with his mail because we are getting you ready for Thursday night footy in what is going to be an absolute corker between Parramatta and the Roosters. And MG, if the Roosters manage to land Brandon Smith, there's going to be 15 other clubs going, how?
What the?
How?
Nick, we trust.
We're going to talk about Brandon Smith possibly joining the Roosters in about 25 minutes or so. But this is the Rush Hour with MG and Liam on Triple M. We're talking Tokyo next.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
Getting you ready for Thursday night footy. We got your coverage all the way through till the final whistle. Dan Ganane, Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler will be your call team. NRL prime time from 7 o'clock. But off the top, we got to talk Tokyo.
What's cracking?
Good position for the Australian. He goes up alongside Kuminga. Is it another gold medal for these Australians at these games? Yes, it is! Does it, gets the Olympic record. Zach Stubblety-Cook, remember that name.
We won't forget that name.
200-metre breaststroke, gold medalist. Zach Stubblety-Cook.
Oh, that's my new favourite name.
What a great name.
The Stubber. Get your Stubbsy.
He got Australia.
That was a fantastic, that was the first time, I think since 1959 or something, or 62 or something, since we won gold in that discipline.
Wow. That's
unbelievable. So he was, that was a great swim. He come from nowhere. And he's all these swimmers who get out of the pool, they're so humble. They're such great role models for our country.
Yep.
You know, they're a beauty to watch. And I like Boxall in the crowd last night when Arnie got another gold. He's, just kind of punching away, but he's more sedate. But let it go. Let your emotions go. These are gold medals. These guys and girls have been trying 5 years to get this happening. Come on. Let them do what they want
to
do.
Zach Stubblety-Cook got us off to a golden start today. Some disappointment. I won't call them disappointments, because the fact of the matter is they're still winning Olympic medals.
Yeah.
A lot of people had us locked in for gold in the women's 4x200 metres. We landed a bronze, beaten by China and by the US. But that's Olympics.
That's Olympics.
That's the Olympics. These things don't come easy. And then Kyle Chalmers, who was defending his 100-metre freestyle gold medal
swim
from Rio. What a race.
Oh, my goodness. He came home like a train. It was kind of a fingernail.
Got
to the American. He seems such a great kid, Kyle Chalmers. Kyle Chalmers.
Kyle Chalmers is a nice kid as well, but Kyle Chalmers.
So that's Will Chalmers.
Kyle Chalmers was pipped by 0.06 of a second for gold medal. Caleb Dressel, the American, won. But have a listen to him on pool deck afterwards, speaking to Channel 7 about the silver medal.
I did everything in my absolute power to win. Obviously, life's not always about winning, but it is nice, and I executed the race well, and I felt strong and felt good. It was a big day yesterday, big day to unwind from and then back up again this morning. But like I said, I left absolutely everything in the pool and did everything I could to do it for my country.
Liam, you're out of us two. You're the one who's more au fait with stats and
yes.
stuff like that. As we stand now, I think it was Athens. We've got our biggest haul ever of Olympic gold medals.
Gold medals, yes, 17.
Where are we at the moment, and how are we compared to, say, Rio?
Well, at the moment, we sit fourth on the overall medal tally, which is incredible. We're behind China, United States, and the host nation, Japan. And obviously, Japan has the ability to put a lot more athletes into these games than anyone else. So, sitting fourth with 8 golds. Now, that is already equal to what we did in Rio. We've already got as many gold medals as we did in Rio, with a whole heap of chances still to come. 17 gold medals, as you said, MG, in Athens is our best.
Best ever in history.
That's the best. That's the highest ever amount of gold medals Australia has ever landed. We are a red-hot chance. We are a red-hot chance to beat
that. We've got both our hockey teams. We've got our girls' sevens.
We've got the Boomers in the basketball.
The Boomers.
We've got Talika Clancy and Maria Atache del Solar in the women's beach volleyball. We've got a host of more medals. And we've still got more opportunities in the pool.
And the velodrome.
The Olympic fever is gripping us.
It is. Well, of course, you know what? Something else is gripping us. We don't want it to grip us. It's called COVID.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
That's what sport does. And we all need it. And I want these Olympics to go to at least December.
And let me say again, I know we talked about her off the top, Jess Fox, 27-year-old, paddles on the Nepean River and has dreamt about Olympic gold for the last 2 Olympics. She was silver in London, she was bronze in Rio, and then she's landed a bronze in the kayak, and everyone thought, oh no, it's never going to happen. And she rolled out about an hour ago and delivered one of the clutch performances we've seen from an Australian Olympian.
Didn't just win it, won it by 3 seconds. Like, just was on fire. And the irony is, her father's a commentator. He was so sedate.
I reckon he held his breath for an entire final run. Oh, it was outstanding. Well done to all of our Olympians.
Yeah.
Oh, let's take a breather.
You're inspiring us. You're inspiring us big time.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
The Rush Hour with MG and Liam on Triple M. Only the Olympic Games could bump this man off the top of a Thursday night show. Let's do this.
Mail.
Let's welcome in the glue of the Triple M NRL family, the fourth key member of the Saturday scrum with yourself, Tony Squires and Ryan Gerther. We speak, of course, of Brent Reed from The Australian. G'day, Reedy.
Hello, gentlemen.
He's fourth with a bullet, buddy. He's coming up the ranks. I'd say he's
fourth with
a
bullet.
There's nowhere to go but up when you're fourth, though.
Well, Michael Chamis is fifth, so just be careful.
I haven't even read a mention anymore. Fair deal.
Right, Reedy, let's get stuck into this. Look, Tevita Pangai Jr., he's going to the Panthers. Paul Vaughan, he's at the Bulldogs. I guess the big free agent right now with Dale Finucane and also signed with the Sharks, Anthony Milford.
Yeah, look, it looks like the Milford's going to stay in Brisbane now and finish the season up there. The Gold Coast have come out today, Justin Holbrook, and said, look, it won't be happening this year and probably won't be happening next year either. And Kevy's basically come out and said that he expects him to stay now. And I've spoken to the Broncos as well today, and they said the expectations now that Anthony Milford will see out the season in Brisbane. So the way it's going, you'll see it out in the Queensland Cup. And it's interesting, South now would appear the most likely, but if Anthony is to go to South, it's going to have to be about football and not money. They've made that pretty clear to Anthony. They've reached out to his camp and said, look, if you want to come somewhere that will help your football, to make you a better football player, but give you the chance to maybe rediscover the player you once were, then we're open to it. But we're not going to pay you the world. You're going to have to take a fair snip, basically, in the hip pocket if that's to happen. So the ball's firmly in Anthony's court there, Anthony's camp's court, to sort out their priority. If their priority is money, it won't be South. If their priority is going to a football club that he's going to be successful, going to a football club, Jason Demetrio clearly knows him well, the guy's going to be coaching him next year. Yeah, if you're looking for a football club that's going to potentially rediscover the best of Anthony Milford, then there's potentially an opportunity here for you. So I guess we just sit and wait for the Milf to make up his mind.
I think that's a perfect fit for him. I really do. He's been on a lot of money for a lot of years now, and he's been sunbaking, kicking back and just, you know, letting everything unfold. Now's the time to earn your money. Go to a club that wants you, that needs you, that will fit perfectly with you, and start producing what you did 5 years ago. It's simple as that. Otherwise, go to Super League.
Well, he doesn't want to do that by the sounds of it. So I'm not sure he's got many options outside South at the moment.
Yeah, good.
So
well, that's a good option for him, I think, Reddy.
Yeah, all right, Reddy. Let's talk Dragons. This is a club still in turmoil, still dealing with the fallout from Barbecue Gate. Now one of their rising stars has unfollowed them on socials.
What about this story? So this is a bit crazy, this. So Zach Lomax, who was one of the guys who didn't sign the statement, so didn't fly up for the team originally, he's up there now, has unfollowed the Dragons on Instagram, and he's liked a post of Paul Vaughan saying basically, I love you, Vaughny. And people have taken this as some sign that he's disgruntled, that he wants out of Dragons. It's caused a hullabaloo on social media. I've all sorts of people reaching out to me saying, oh, what's happening? Is Zach Lomax going to the Tigers? I mean, the Tigers get linked with everyone. I've checked in with the Dragons today. They say there's no issue there. We're all jumping at shadows. Zach will be back with the team soon. And, you know, everything's fine. So, yeah, it caused a bit of a hullabaloo on social media. I mean, it was all a bit strange, really.
Well, I understand where he's coming from. Look, he's peed off that they got caught at the barbecue, obviously. He didn't think they were doing anything wrong. It's because with their teammates. But to unfollow the team who pays your money, and it's all about social media these days. Everyone picks up on social media.
Yeah.
These young kids know exactly what they're doing when it comes to social media, so don't say he's done something that he doesn't know what he's doing. And to like something that Vaughan said, that's fine. That's his mate. Yeah. I don't mind. I've got nothing, no dramas with that. But to unfollow the person who pays your bills, come on, man.
Maybe their content just wasn't very good.
Well, maybe they've got to get a new media manager. Get a new media manager with Paulie's message.
No, we like Jack Brady. We like Jack Brady at the Dragons.
Jack's awesome.
We like Jack.
Well, social media.
Yeah, exactly, the social media. And quickly, you mentioned him there, Paul Vaughan.
Yeah.
He's now with the Bulldogs. And I like this. The Bulldogs have got a little bit creative in trying to get his ban over and done with quickly.
Yeah, look, I think this was before they found out or they were given the sign that he'd be the current weeks he's missing will count towards his suspension. So that would mean he misses 8 weeks. He'll be right for round one next year. I think before that had happened, they actually reached out to find out whether he could be picked in the Italian World Cup squad, and therefore that would count against his suspension. So it's some novel thinking by the Bulldogs. Mm. I like it. They're getting clever, the Dogs.
Yeah, unfortunately, they didn't realise that the Kangaroos and the Kiwis were going to pull out and probably stuff the whole World Cup.
Well, you know what? There's actually a hookup on right now involving, well, it might be over by now, involving a couple of CEOs, club CEOs in the World Cup, having a discussion about their stance on it and why the clubs are opposed to it. I'm expecting a statement to be put out tonight on behalf of the clubs, outlining why they've got concerns about the World Cup. And there's actually a hookup again tonight. So there's a bit going on with the World Cup. The World Cup are actually doing a press conference pretty soon as well. So there's a bit happening there.
Okay, wow. We'll keep an ear out for it. Very nice. Brent Reed, the glue that holds the Triple M NRL family together. Reedy's mail, always spot on. We will hear from you this Saturday on the scrum with the boys.
Good as gold, lads.
This is the Rush Hour with MG and Liam on Triple M. Got to talk Brandon Smith up next, MG, because there's whispers the Roosters are in big time for the hectic cheap.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
Got to have a talk about the hectic cheese very shortly, MG. Brandon Smith.
I love talking about the hectic cheese.
Will he stay at the Storm, the Roosters, Takiyaho potentially go on to the Super League? Does that free up some cash? Obviously, Boyd Cordner, Jake Friend, not there. There's all these calculations happening, and we could see him at Sydney next. But you've spotted something on social media you want to share with the family.
Look, the Olympics today have warmed my heart. This warmed my heart just as much. Look, this will tell you how much the rugby league fraternity love Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. He's bidding bon voyage today to go back to New Zealand before that little window closes, the bubble closes at the end of the week. And the Warriors squads, joined by the Rabideau squad, did this for him today. He's been one of my favourite players since he came into the game. He came in and they put Minicello on the wing, put him at fullback, give him a run. And over the years, he's been one of the most humble and lovable players that we've had. No dramas. And that shows you how much love these fellow players have for him, because that was emotional. It's been an emotional show. I've had a tear down my eye watching Jess Fox win. I had a little bit of a tear down my eye saying goodbye to Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, but you know what? He's been a great servant to our game. He deserves everything that comes his way, and we wish him all the best.
Well said. I would keep an ear out for the Sunday scrum, the Sunday sin bin, sorry, this weekend, because I wouldn't be surprised if Paul Kent walks back his comments about Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. I think his comments during the week on NRL 360 about how it's a bad look and how he shouldn't have done.
Who said that?
Kenty, during the week on NRL 360, he said that Roger Tuivasa-Sheck leaving with 6 weeks to go of the season.
Kenty knows the game better than most.
But I think that's a bad take, and I think the love for Roger Tuivasa-Sheck within the game is such that I think he might walk it back. I don't think you will. We can hope.
The good thing about our game, everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Absolutely right. It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam on Triple M. Let's talk Hectic Cheese up next. We love this man. Could we see him in Sydney next year?
Oh, circle of blur.
Oh, he'd be. We'd have to get him in every week if he was living here.
I don't think he could handle Sydney.
Talk Hectic Cheese up next.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG. 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
MG, speaking of the Roosters.
Yes.
The reports have come out during the week that they are into Brandon Smith in a very big way. Now, for those unaware, Brandon Smith currently is off contract at the end of next year with the Melbourne Storm, which means clubs are able to...
negotiate in November.
Exactly. From November 1, clubs are able to speak to him. The Roosters are already, you know, putting out feelers with Brandon Smith's management. The talk is Brandon Smith, 25 years of age, the Roosters would like to get him because, and when you look at it, Jake Friend retired, Boyd Cordner retired, Brett Morris, obviously done and has retired as well. But Taki Ahau, it looks like he could be heading to the Super League. So there is some potential. The salary may not be an issue for them.
There's no way the salary would be an issue for them. They wouldn't even contemplate a signing of his ilk.
So what are the pros of Brandon Smith?
Okay, well, the pros of him, let's say going to the Roosters, okay? The Roosters are a great club. They're very similar to Melbourne in the fact that their cultures, they concentrate on their culture first. And the players seem to just want to take care of that second. And then all of a sudden, players who go there become better, a bit like Melbourne. Look, a lot more money. We're in a money-based business. Mm. Sydney living at Bondi. Hey, nothing wrong with that, baby. And I think the big two lures are Politis and Robinson. Nick Politis and Robinson, the coach. It'd be very tempting. Because I know Boyd Cordner, they want him to play that role of Boyd Cordner, you know, a bit of a back row. They've got Verrills and Radley in the hooker and lock spot, but I don't know. It's kind of left field for me seeing the Roosters after him, but I must confess. Look, as far as the cons go, leaving Melbourne Storm, well, he's leaving Melbourne. That's exclamation mark. Who leaves Melbourne when they don't have to, you know? Melbourne's out of sight, out of mind, which is why they are so successful. Craig Bellamy signing an extended 5-year deal is a big lure, a big temptation if I'm Brandon Smith to stay. Another con is Sydney Living. While it's a pro, it's a con as well because you're in the fishbowl. You've gone from anonymity in Melbourne in an AFL-dominated state, then you're coming up here as one of the big kahunas. And how are you going to handle that? How are you going to... You know, having cameras in your face every time you're training, every time you go out for a drink with your mates, how are you going to handle that? That's the big question mark. But I suppose a team like the Roosters, a bit like Melbourne, could handle it.
Mm. It strikes me that if the Storm, Finucane's obviously gone. He signed with the Sharks. The Storm wanted to keep him, but they couldn't match the money that he was being offered by the Sharks. It strikes me that you get the feeling that Melbourne could present a fairly compelling offer, not too far away from what the Roosters would be looking to offer Brandon Smith. But if the Roosters had to... Because the other thing the Roosters have to consider here, if they're looking at signing Brandon Smith for 2023 and beyond, what about Joey Manu? Because we know that the Warriors are into Joey Manu in a big way, but the Roosters don't want to lose him. But so if you're Nick Politis and Trent Robinson, and you had to make a decision, MG, between signing Brandon Smith for 2023 and beyond and keeping the hold of Joey Manu...
I'd keep Joey Manu.
You keep Manu?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think Manu is one of the best backs in the world. Hectic Cheese is a character and he's a fantastic player and he'll add something to your team. But I think Manu's their second best player outside of Tedesco. Mm. I just think everything he does is silk. And we'll see, that'll be me reinforced tonight. But it's a good question. It's a really good question. And it's one that they're going to have to contemplate because if Taki Ahau does go, put it this way, I'd take the hectic cheese over Takiyaho.
Takiyaho, yeah, right.
Well, because and, I think you can cover the, you know, Lindsay Collins will come back, and you've got Jared Hargraves who's in, you know, like a good bottle of red. He's just getting better with age.
Yeah.
So it's harder to kind of, you know, fill that the smart centre or outside back or 5-8 role, which Joey Manu can play compared to a front rower.
Well, I guess the thing is, Joseph Suwali, I mean, they probably got him pegged as an outside back for the future. And Brandon Smith's only 25. I feel like he's older for some reason. Maybe it's the miles he puts on his body on and off the field.
Well, Joey Manu's got a big choice to make because, you know, he's not going to play 5-8. He's not going to play 5-8 or fullback at the Roosters.
No.
With Luke Keary coming back next year. So he's got a big decision to make, Joey Manu.
Yeah, absolutely. We should say Buzz Rothfield broke that story about the Roosters showing interest in Brandon Smith.
Oh, yeah, Buzzy.
Well done, Buzzy. So, and I believe Michael Carrianis has been onto it as well. So really interesting to see how this one plays out.
It's funny talking about footy, doesn't it, when the Olympics are on. it just feels funny. We're talking about this type of stuff. I want to talk more Olympics.
One man I know hasn't missed a beat of the Olympics. He's watched everything. Ryan Gertler. He's going to jump in with us next. And beautiful. He's a bit like Charlie as well, because his wife's German, so he's been cheering for Germany as well in all these sports.
Yeah. Gerges is just a sport lover. He loves it. I'm going to ask you, the surfing, that's something I've never watched before competitively.
There you go. Our surfing correspondent, Ryan Gertler, who's mad for the waves, loves getting pitted. He'll join us to break down Owen Wright's bronze medal.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
Ryan Gertler.
Hello, gentlemen. Hello, everyone. Welcome back,
fantastic
MG.
Fantastic to see you, buddy.
Yeah, we missed you last week.
Oh, you were awesome. I listened to you all last week.
I had a good
week,
break, mate.
Just to check it out.
Yeah, we had some fun.
You were a little bit too good for my liking.
Hey, surfing correspondent, we've bestowed the title upon you. Talk us through Owen Wright's bronze medal performance that you delivered in Japan.
It was just a massive performance. I mean, if you know Owen's story at all, 5 years ago he travelled across. He was up sort of leading the charge there for the world title. He's super competitive. He's been around for a fair while, and he was surfing about 15-foot pipeline in Hawaii, and he came off and there was bleeding of the brain. He had to learn to walk and obviously surf again. So the journey to get back and make the Olympic squad with Julian Wilson and then go over there and perform the way that he did, he lost out by about half a point in the semis to Ferreira, who actually, Italo, is just on a different level at the moment, especially in those sort of conditions, like short, punchy beach breaks where they just allow a lot of ramps and a lot of airs and whatever it may be, where Owen's really good at turns and digging the rail in. But he came up against another guy that's really good in those conditions, Medina, in the playoff there for the surf off there for the bronze. And he nailed it. So what a moment. Some of the other surfers, unfortunately, Sal got knocked out, I think, in the fourth round, and
she missed out. Yeah. Sal just missed out on being able to surf.
I think Wilson was ripped off as well. I think he won that heat.
Yep.
A lot of people out there in their cars or wherever they're listening to this thinking, I thought they were joking about Gerds knowing about surfing. And
he's a mad surfer.
The conditions have been really trying, actually. They expected, you know, no swell at the start of it. Then there was a typhoon forecast, and that sort of bumped it up a little bit. So they got decent conditions at the back end, but it was pretty ordinary, the opening rounds.
All right, well, let's talk some footy. We do this. 1, 2, 3.
Triple M Rush Hour's Rapid Fire Footy.
Thanks to the Lone Pine Tavern in Rudy Hill, now doing takeaway Friday to Sunday. LonePineTavern.com.au for details. Takeaway from tomorrow all through the weekend. Get around them.
Support your local.
Absolutely. Hey,
if I'm going to be the surfing correspondent, can you give me some sort of opener around, you know, burning rubber with girls?
Burning rubber. We'll work you an opener.
We'll work on it. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, all right. I like that.
Okay, and we'll bring you in when the surfing event.
I need another job these days.
Oh, we're not going to pay you.
Okay,
it's pro bono work. Right, last time you cried watching a sporting event, Gert?
I have to say that I sat on the couch with the girls to watch Titmus in the 400 against Ledecky. We watched that live and had a little tear after it, especially when they went back to Noosa and saw the family there. So MJ? It was a nice moment.
Mine was about an hour ago watching Jess Fox. How hard she's worked for that, and seeing her dad Richard, who ironically commentated on the thing. You're a statue.
The other time was probably 20 minutes into last year's grand final.
We were sobbing, weren't we?
Right, gentlemen. Brandon Smith, where do you think he'll be in 2023, MJ?
Melbourne.
Good.
Melbourne.
All right, same question for Joey Manu. Goods?
Roosters.
MJ?
Roosters.
Nice question.
What I love from you two I think
out of the two of them, I think if I had to pick one who would maybe leave, it might be Joey Manu for the $1 million.
I just know how much Joey Manu means to that club and Trent Robinson in particular. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, nice. Okay. Right. Dean Boxall, the coach of Ariane Titmus, we all saw his performance, the hip thrust, the dry humping, whatever you want to call it. Not craziest, most passionate coach you ever had, Ryan Gerber?
God damn. On the 03 tour, Chris Anderson had a heart attack at halftime during one of our games, so that's showing a fair bit of enthusiasm.
That's passion.
Oops, if you're listening, buddy, I hope you're doing okay.
Okay.
Well, we went off for the halftime talk and he was in a gurney going off to hospital.
Oh, wow. Yeah, remember that? That was scary.
We can laugh because he's okay.
Well, he got through it fine.
Well, mine's the late, great Graham Murray. Graham Murray coached me in the lower grades at Penrith, and he was that emotional that sometimes he'd cry after giving or at halftime when he'd do something good. He'd come and go, gee, I love you. Like, he was the best coach that I've ever played under, and he's sorely missed.
Madge Maguire type. Madge Maguire styles.
Oh, had double what that is. Double Madge. Double. He's a school teacher too.
There are some of those characters that you look at what the West Tigers are doing with this documentary, Wild West, Tales from Tiger Town on KO. You wish there'd been a camera around for the days of some of those blokes.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. A few of our teammates, it's a lot more sanitized
yeah. These days.
Yeah, all right.
A lot of mirror watching.
NRL Primetime coming up next.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.